Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Mark Allison on the end time predictions of Family Radio's Harold Camping.
And Christ is coming back. There's no question about that. He is going to return for his people. But when you have a man predicting Christ coming and it doesn't come to pass, then it brings into disrepute all of the ministers and theologians and God's people who are telling people the truth. Christ is coming.
Mark Allison, next on His People. Right now, we continue our discussion with Pennsylvania Presbyterian pastor Dr. Mark Allison on his analysis of the teaching of Family Radio president Harold Camping. Mr. Camping teaches widely that Jesus will return and the world will end next year. It's not the first time he's made such a prediction. In a substantial book, he predicted the end of the world would occur in 1994. Dr. Allison, on the homepage of Family Radio's website, it says in bold letters, Judgment Day, May 21st, 2011. What exactly does Mr. Camping believe is going to happen that day?
Well, he believes that's going to be the rapture of the true believers. And then we'll begin a 7.5-month judgment on the unsaved, which will then be followed by total destruction on the last day of Earth's existence, which will be October 21st. Now, during that 7.5-month period of judgment, there won't be anyone being saved. So in effect, when Christ comes and takes his people, raptures his people out of the earth, according to Mr. Camping, that judgment that begins for 7.5 months will continue and end up with annihilation of the wicked. And when the wicked are annihilated, they will never be there again. Their existence is completely gone.
How many people, and you told me before we did this interview that especially in your area, it's kind of taken hold, but how many people take this seriously, do you think?
That's hard to know, because there are people that even work for Mr. Camping, whom I have talked to, who say they do not believe what Mr. Camping is saying, and they're just hoping that something will happen where Mr. Camping will no longer be able to teach this, and they'll be able to return the station back to orthodoxy. So it's really hard to know. I remember hearing Mr. Camping himself answer a question as to how many people that were working with him in his Oakland, California station that agreed with him. He said only a handful. Now, whether that was the case now, that statement was 9 years ago, whether that's still the case, I don't know. It could be that there's been a purging and the ones that disagree have been moved out. But how many are following him, I don't know. You can go on his website and they have a listing of fellowships that you can attend if you don't want to be in the church anymore, and that gives you a little idea of how many are following him. But it's hard to know how many have been influenced. I do know that a Reformed speaker was at a conference where I think there were elders and pastors from churches, Baptist, Presbyterian, and over 100 in the New York area and area out east here. And he asked, how many of you people have lost people? That is, they've left your church because Mr. Camping says the church age is over, the church is given over to Satan, you need to leave the church. How many of you have lost people in your church? And every hand went up. And so, you know, those are 100 churches, and some of them have lost as many as 50 people. I know that when he told the people leave the church, we had a dozen people that immediately, within the next 2 months, left our church. And they said, every one of them, that we were still Orthodox, we had not been given over to Satan, and yet it was inevitable that we will be given over to Satan. Well, contrary to Mr. Camping, we're still not given over to Satan. We're still seeing souls saved, and we're thankful for the Lord's grace and mercy to us every day that we minister the Word.
Now, in terms of that May 21st, 2011 prediction, Dr. Allison, you told me that in your area anyway, I mean, it's beginning to be pretty highly publicized.
Yeah, we're seeing signs like you might put out for a political candidate, signs about that size going up in yards alongside the road. We've seen billboards that have gone up indicating that Christ is coming back May the 21st. We see vans that have been painted, nicely painted, with verses and statements on it. The world will come to an end October the 21st. Christ is coming back May the 21st. So it's something that you see more and more at the grocery store, which is a mile from my house, right in the front yard. Someone had stuck a sign saying the end of the world is May the 21st. These are the followers, obviously, of Mr. Camping putting this up, and usually the owners take it down as soon as they find it. But nonetheless, it's going up quite a bit, and we're still 6 months away from that date.
Now, any sense of any plans that that he is making or Family Radio? I mean, are they doing anything different leading up to that date?
Well, recently, he was telling people to leave the church and form a fellowship and join the fellowship. He has recently said that he's no longer telling people even to do that, meaning the end is getting so near. Why form a fellowship and join with a fellowship? Just listen to the radio. They are planning other things, pooling money and making a bigger splash, as it were, in the areas where they are located. Whether that's going to hit the heartland of the United States, I don't know. Many people in the United States still have never heard of Harold Camping. But if you were to go to California, Arizona, New York, Philadelphia, New Jersey, most Christians have heard of him and will be hearing a great deal more as we get closer to May the 21st.
Now, what about in terms of people that he is answerable to or accountable to? I mean, is there anybody either internally there at Family Radio or externally that he'll listen to?
His right-hand man, Otero, left because of what Camping was teaching and went against Mr. Camping, as has spoken out against Mr. Camping. The church that Mr. Camping was a part had an interim pastor, and that pastor went against Mr. Camping. Camping would not listen to him. We wrote a letter to Mr. Camping. We were in conversation with him by letter directly and told him our reasons for leaving. He's never answered that letter because he was editing our messages to make it sound like we were in favor of what was going on. And he would no longer call us a pastor or a church or church. He just wanted messages that had all of that edited out. And every bit of accountability that he had among friends and people speaking to him seems to have left. His Family Radio itself has a board of four. He was one of those four. We had, as I said, the vice president of Family Radio. He was also a part of that board. He is no longer part of our church, so I'm not sure how that board is situated now. When he first came out with his teaching, the board was split 2-2. And two members saying, no, we don't agree. Two members saying, yes, Camping was one of the two. Whether he's been able to reorganize the board or not, I'm not sure. But the only accountability he had was really to that board, other than churches pulling out. And every Orthodox Bible-believing ministry on Family Radio has really pulled out, except for those where they're using tapes of someone who's already dead and gone. Those tapes, there's no way of stopping him from using them. But those that were Orthodox have pulled out or been thrown off the radio station.
Any sense if the date comes and goes, the May 21st date comes and goes, any sense of what might happen at Family Radio internally, or will things just go on as if nothing happened?
That's the real question, because I believe that what you're seeing is a cult form. I teach in a seminary, and one of the courses I teach is the cults. And what you're seeing are all the earmarks of a cult. Jehovah's Witnesses also had a date, I think it was 1914, and of course that date came and went, and the predictions failed. But I think that's what you're seeing, is the formation of a cult, new revelation, and the revelation is really only what Mr. Camping says it is. None of the followers are finding these things out. They're being told these things by Mr. Camping as he comes up with new things, supposedly from Scripture. It's as if he is the guru, he has the prophetic gift, he is the one who has the anointing, and with papal authority he then tells his followers, this is what the Scripture says, and they buy it and follow him. That is the marking of a cult. And if 2000 and 11, May the 21st comes and goes and Mr. Camping is still alive, I think what you're going to see him do is reinterpret again, fine-tune it, say, well, it must be June the 21st. You know, who knows whether the followers will still follow after him. In our church, we have a number of folks that were taken in by the 1994 date who would tell you that they began to doubt him and now know that he's wrong, would stand against him as a false teacher. But, you know, when they first heard it, it just sounded reasonable, and he throws so many numbers at you that it's hard to argue with him. He's pulling a verse out of Daniel, which is obscure. He pulls another verse out of Ezekiel, which is obscure. And most of God's people have not studied those books thoroughly. Well, that is, again, as I say, what a cult leader will do. He'll go to the obscure passages, and then he'll make much of it, and people are not well-versed in those obscure passages and are prey then to what they're being taught. So I think what you're seeing is a cult forming. So what will happen May the 21st, there'll be some who'll be utterly shattered and will lose confidence in the Word of God, as well as Mr. Camping. There'll be others who I think would be true believers, and you'll see them being shaken by what goes on, and hopefully will repudiate the teaching of Mr. Camping, not only as to the date, but some of the other teachings that are very serious. And then the others, I think, will continue on, as would happen in the Seventh-day Adventist. When I was on another station a few months ago, I actually laid the challenge out. You know, Mr. Camping, if you really believe these things, then sign over your radio station to those that are Orthodox. I'd be happy to take the station in New Jersey. Sign it over to us so that on May the 22nd, when you're going to be gone, we have a radio station to broadcast from. And if you happen to be here, people will know you're a false prophet. But nothing like that has ever happened. To me, if he's really serious that he believes this, then he ought to do something he didn't do in 1994, and that is shut himself down and stop preaching these things. Because what it does is it tells the unsaved world that Christ isn't coming. And he is coming. Christ is coming back. There's no question about that. He is going to return for his people. But when you have a man predicting Christ coming and it doesn't come to pass, then it brings into disrepute all the ministers and theologians and God's people who are telling people the truth. Christ is coming, and he's going to come with great glory and great splendor. So, you know, the best thing that would happen would be if he would shut down his ministry or give that ministry to something that was Orthodox, either another radio station that was Orthodox or a group of churches that was Orthodox, so they could carry on an Orthodox ministry over the air.
So you're saying that would be for something to have in place for May 22nd if we're still here?
Yeah. I mean, if you're really serious, I knew someone who sold their house in 1994 because they actually believe what Camping said, but I don't think Camping sold his house. He never stopped being on the radio when he was wrong in 1994. If he's really serious about his date in May the 21st, 2011, well, let's see you show that, Mr. Camping, by selling your house, selling your belongings, selling your radio station, or giving your radio station away. It's going to matter nothing to you. And if you're not right, it stops you from going on teaching these things again and again and again and again.
So in terms of the dissemination of these various teachings, whether it's May 21st, 2011 for Judgment Day, or that the church age is over, what have you, he disseminates these on family radio, both in a, as I recall, in a sermon format, but then also kind of in a telephone talk telephone format, right?
Yes, he has a radio station that's on 24/7, and that station is broadcast in the areas that I mentioned. It's also on shortwave, and it's also over the internet, so you can get you can hear him verbally say these things. But when you go on to the Family Radio station, you can also read these things. He has a literature there where you can download it. He has mission teams that go throughout the world propagating these things as well. They're not huge like the Mormons might be, but nonetheless, they go out throughout the world handing out literature, propagating his message that the church is dead and has been given over to Satan.
Does he recommend, I think the answer is probably obvious, but does he recommend to his listeners that they, besides the Bible and besides his writings, does he refer them to any other writer, any other theologian in church history?
No, he doesn't. I think if you were to go back in the archives and listen to him back in the 60s and 70s, that he would have referred to others. But now he is saying that all these teachers, whether it be like a John Calvin or a Martin Luther or more recently a C.H. Spurgeon, all these teachers have high places, which he refers to as false doctrine, that God tolerated. And so if you go back to those teachers, you're going to find false doctrine that have been tolerated. The only real one to teach the truth purely has been Mr. Camping. And so in 1988, the Lord was fed up with the church and finally brought the church age to a close. He tolerated the high places for a long time, and now he doesn't tolerate it anymore. So if you, at the end of your message, invite people to repent of their sins and take Christ as Lord and Savior, you're one of those false teachers. And down through the ages when men have done that, the Lord has been angry with them, according to Mr. Camping, and finally his vengeance was taken out in 1988 when he judged the church. He would also, his basic millennial scheme would be amillennialism, and he would say any premillennialist would also be a false teacher. He would say anyone who is taught that you can be divorced is also a false teacher. And he starts going over some of these doctrines, and when you actually begin to listen to what Mr. Camping is saying, you come to the conclusion that Mr. Camping is the only one ever to teach these things. Therefore, the church has always been wrong. And so he cannot then go back and recommend you to study anyone. He has a teaching on the faith of Jesus, where you find this in Galatians chapter 2 and in Romans chapter 4. And he says the faith of Jesus is not our faith in Jesus, which would be what the grammarians would call an objective genitive. Christ is the object of our faith. But he would say that the faith of Jesus is Christ's faith. You're not saved by your believing. You're saved by Christ believing, which is utter nonsense. And the passage there is actually teaching that scripturally that you are to believe on Christ. As I said, it's an objective genitive. Like you say, the work of God can mean the work that you do for God, or love of God can be your love for God. In this case, it's an objective genitive, is your faith in Christ. And so the old grammarians knew that, but his ignorance of Greek grammar, as well as ignorance of Greek grammar, he's ignorant of both English and Greek grammar, and because many in the listening audience don't know either, they don't know Greek grammar or English grammar, because of that, he's able to pray on that. And so it's not the faith of the believer, of repentance and believing, but it's actually Christ's faith that saves you, and which is utterly absurd. So, I mean, there are things that he is teaching that if you disagree with any of those things, you are a false teacher. You're part of the high places. Those high places were destroyed in 1988 because God finally was fed up with what was going on in the church. So he can't go back in church history then and appeal to any really church father or any church leader, because nobody's ever agreed with Mr. Camping. Mr. Camping is unique. And so the church has always been wrong for 2,000 years. I remember a Bible teacher saying to me once that if what you believe is new, it's probably not true. And if it's true, it's probably not new. To say that you are the first one to understand Scripture and the first one to understand it the way that the whole church has been wrong over the years is really quite a bold statement. To say the Holy Spirit never gave to anyone truth in these matters is really quite an arrogant and proud statement. And yet Mr. Camping says that because he believes that since 1988, new revelation is given, and he has been the recipient of that revelation.
Well, my guest today on His People, Dr. Mark Allison, pastor of Free Presbyterian Church of Melbourne, Pennsylvania. And he, as you heard him discuss earlier, his church used to have a close connection with Family Radio and Harold Camping. And as we've talked about his teaching, Dr. Allison, people might have wondered, well, have you met him? If you have, what is his personality like?
I personally have not met him. I've listened to him on the radio off and on since 1980, but I have not met him personally. As I said, the vice president of his station was in our church and still a friend of mine. I know him, and many of our people know Mr. Camping. He would come across to a conference in Tuscarora here in Pennsylvania area, north of Philadelphia, every year, and these people would go to his Bible conference and meet with him. My predecessor, the one who was a pastor before me, he had actually spoken at a Bible conference that Mr. Camping had. So a lot of the people in the church have met Mr. Camping. I have not. I've written him letters, and he's written back, but I have not actually met him face to face.
Now, obviously, an important, a critical aspect of what you're saying is building discernment in these kind of matters, whether it's hearing a prediction or hearing a doctrine that is different or new or odd. And as you mentioned, if it's new, it's probably not true. If it's true, it's probably not new. But any suggestions as a pastor for helping us build discernment to kind of guard us against making mistakes or being dragged into error?
Well, a pastor ought to ground his people in the fundamentals of the faith so they can, from the Scripture itself, deal with these very areas. We're living in a time period in America where the cults are very strong, and America has become the land and the origination of many cults. And a pastor has to ground his people in the basic truths concerning the doctrines of the faith, whether it be our view of Scripture and how we handle the Scripture, our view of God, the Godhead, and the doctrine of salvation, the application of that doctrine in the heart when men repent and believe, and then some at least basic teachings on prophecy, where people can see for themselves that in Matthew 24, our Lord says, no man knows the day and the hour. So if anyone comes and says, I know the day and the hour, the people of God will know this is not right. I would not advise people to listen to Mr. Camping, simply because he's so convoluted that if they try to follow him, they might actually be intimidated by the fact that they can't and think that maybe it's something wrong with them. They're better off not even wasting their time with Mr. Camping. But to protect yourself against that teaching, the best thing is to ground yourself in the truth. It was said that the old men who were uncovering counterfeit money didn't study counterfeit money. They studied the true and the real. And so when they saw a counterfeit, they knew it because they knew the truth. And that's what God's people need to be. They need to be grounded in the doctrines of Scripture. And that's what a pastor needs to take pains with. Now, as to applying that Scripture to the different cults, that is easily done once the people are grounded and they can see for themselves what the Scripture teaches. And I think anybody who's never heard of Camping and they hear just the discussion, Bill, that we have had, will stand back and say, that is bizarre teaching. But the people who left our church were people who in 1994 knew Camping was wrong, but they never turned him off. And they kept listening and kept listening and kept listening, and he kept twisting and twisting and twisting. And gradually they were deceived again. And I think some of those people would be deceived again once May the 21st comes and goes. So if the people would be grounded in the Word, as Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. Paul is taking his worries, taking us to the Word of God. That's what we need. And if people would be grounded in it, they'll be able to see through with Mr. Camping.
Well, Dr. Allison, thank you so much for joining us today. Any final thoughts, something we've left out as we conclude?
Well, I would encourage anyone who is listening and you're wondering about your own salvation that the place to run to is Christ. The Scripture is clear that Jesus Christ is a Savior for sinners, and all that call upon His name, He will receive, He will save. Our Lord said, all the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Just because Mr. Camping is confused and confusing others does not mean that you can't know the Lord and know Him intimately and know Him savingly through the Scriptures. So I would encourage the listeners who know not the Lord to indeed come to Christ this day. For the listeners that know the Lord, I would encourage them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and take your stand in this 21st century for Christ, It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to testify for Christ.
You've been listening to His People on the Pilgrim Radio Network. Many thanks to today's guest, Dr. Mark Allison, pastor of Free Presbyterian Church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. A Protestant pastor and human rights activist in Vietnam was beaten unconscious by Ho Chi Minh City officials. His Bible school, located in the city's District 2, was also bulldozed. That, according to Release International, which serves the persecuted church around the world. About 500 police, soldiers, and fire officials showed up at the school with bulldozers at 7 a.m. local time and began demolishing the property. Pastor Quang, who leads the Mennonite church, meanwhile, was beaten with batons. Currently, Quang and five members of his congregation are being held at an undisclosed location. Release International says they were detained for allegedly resisting arrest 6 years ago. In 2004, Pastor Quang was arrested and charged with interfering with officials carrying out their duties. The arrest took place months after he had called for the release of Christians who were imprisoned for distributing Christian literature in Ho Chi Minh City. His house, which served as the head office of the Mennonite Church, was also partially destroyed by some 200 officials while he was in prison. He was released in 2005. He's been the subject of arrest and persecution over the past decade. Though Vietnam's constitution provides for freedom of worship, the communist government continues to restrict organized activities of many religious groups. On tomorrow's program, it's Michael Brown on the kind of youth group he thinks kids really need.
You know, it's almost assumed nowadays that a youth pastor is one of the offices of the New Testament, and it's not. If there's any such thing as a youth pastor prescribed by the New Testament, it's the parents. And the parents are given the commandment to bring children up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
That's on tomorrow's program at the same time. Thanks for listening.